Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
August Fall Chigalair Gigi Capital Irish. Hello everyone and welcome to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM for today, Sunday the 28th of May 2023. My name is Marion Grealis and I will be with you for the next half hour here on Capital Irish. Now by now, I hope those of you travelling to Nelson for Ceolanas on the King's Birthday weekend have your travel and accommodation all sorted. You definitely don't want to be camping on the South Island in June, that is for sure. I had one experience of staying at a batch in St Arnaud that only had an open fire for heating, and although it was cosy enough in the evening when we had the fire blazing, I will not forget the freezing cold that we woke up to the next morning in a hurry, just breathing out as you're in bed and seeing your breath just form a cloud ahead of you. It was definitely an indication that it was pretty cool outside of the bed and did not endear me to leap out in any great rush, I can tell you. Last time I saw the Ceolanas Facebook pages during the week there were still some workshop spots left, though those were getting close to full. So if you are heading along and you are keen to take part in any of those workshops, do make sure that you've registered for anything that you're interested in so that you don't miss out. Now, if you're not making your way to the mainland for Ceolanas, but you're based here in Wellington, you'll actually have the opportunity to catch some live music from three of the tutors. They will be playing a gig on the 6th of June, which is a Tuesday, at the Meow Pub on Edward Street. So we'll have Sarah Costello, Conor Connolly and Pora Cadhuil will be performing there from 7:30 p.m. And if you're interested in tickets for that event, you can find that on eventfinder.co.nz. So let's take an opportunity to listen now to some music from one of the trio, Sarah Costello, who was Ceoltóir Óg na Mbliana, or Young Musician of the Year in 2021. The recording that we're going to listen to is from the T.G. Cahir Music Awards, or Grádham Ceoil, from that year. And here we have Sarah playing two tunes, The Old Grey Goose and the interestingly titled Paddy Canny's Toast, with Catherine McHugh. Thank you. And there we had Circa Costello, who will be one of the tutors at the upcoming Ceolanas Festival of Traditional Irish Music on the King's or Monarch's birthday, depending on where you look. Not sure what the name of that weekend is these days. On that weekend, the first weekend in June in Nelson. And as I mentioned earlier, Circa, along with two of the other tutors, will be performing at Meow in Edward Street here in Wellington from 7:30pm on Tuesday the 6th of June. Let's have a look now to see what other Irish events are coming up in the calendar around Wellington in the coming weeks. As today, when you're listening to this, is the last Sunday of the month, there is, as always, a potluck dinner happening at the Hutt Valley Irish Society. So if you're listening as we broadcast live on Wellington Access Radio on 106.1 FM, you have still got time to whip together a plate to bring along to the dinner, which is served up at 6pm, so get there between 5 and 6 to get your offering on the table and to find yourself a posse. The Irish Business Network in New Zealand are hosting an event coming up on Thursday the 15th of June from 5:30 to 7pm at the ZX Security Offices on Brandon Street. This event is called Irish Leaders in New Zealand, and there will be a panel of speakers who are themselves Irish leaders in New Zealand, and they will be sharing their experiences and visions for leadership in their respective industries. So the panellists there will be Gráinne Moss, who is the All of Government Chief Executive and System Lead for Pay Equity. Ian White, who is the CEO of one of New Zealand's largest cybersecurity firms, ZX Security. And Dr. Colin Kennedy, who is currently the Chief Innovation Officer at Creative HQ in Wellington. So if you're interested in that event, I'm sure you can find out about that on the Irish Business Network in New Zealand Facebook page. Finally then, on our regular roundup of Irish events in Wellington and beyond, this one's not strictly Irish, but there will be Irish elements to it, and I have, as you will see, a personal interest in it. I belong to a choir here in Wellington called Capital Choir, and we are performing a concert along the theme of myths and legends called Stories We Tell. That is going to be happening on Tuesday the 27th of June at 7:30 at the Bulcott Street Baptist Church here in Wellington. One of the pieces that we're going to perform at that concert is an arrangement of McGillie Mar, which will be sung Os Gaeilge. The choir has spent about the last couple of weeks, months even really, learning the song, and I have to say it has been so special to be sitting at choir practice listening to this beautiful song being sung in Irish by my fellow choir members. It's just amazing to listen to that when I'm so very far from home. Joining the choir for that piece in particular will be Thomas Stonehouse, who my understanding is that he's a regular at the Wellington Irish sessions on Tuesday nights at the Welsh Dragon Bar, and he's going to play the Bowron in that arrangement, which if you're interested in the arrangement, if you look up the UCD Scholars Choir on YouTube with McGillie Mar, you'll find that there. Also in that concert, I'm going to sing another song based on a very famous Irish myth, but you're going to have to come along to the concert to find out what that one is. So that is Tuesday 27th of June at 7:30 at the Bulcott Street Baptist Church here in Wellington. There'll be tickets on the door. It's a small community choir, so you will just need to bring cash if you want to buy tickets on the door for that one. Being that we were just talking about McGillie Mar, let's have a listen now to the Chieftains with Sting, who recorded this for their Long Black Veil album, if I'm not much mistaken. We'll have a listen now. Shemalek ma yilama, shemahe zahilma, so na shene vorasfen, akuigen ma yilma. Saw him go.
a fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field.
That was the Chieftains there featuring Sting with Maghilamar, which was a song about Bonnie Prince Charlie, the last of the Stuarts. Now, the theme of my choir's concert and the stories that we tell got me thinking this week about the telling of Irish stories here in New Zealand. And it occurred to me that with the internet connecting us all so seamlessly across the globe these days, and there is a lot of Irish content out there that we can access these days with ease. And I'm sure there are many listeners to Capital Irish who, when they first came to New Zealand, had to wait for a letter to arrive in the post, or maybe a parcel, perhaps with a book or a magazine like Ireland's Own, or a copy of the Mayo News that could be, I guess, over a month old by the time it arrived. And that train of thought then got me thinking about our libraries here in New Zealand and what kind of content that one might access there of Irish interest. So that brought me then, of course, to my own library account here with Wellington City Libraries. So what I'm going to share this on the rest of the show is some of that content that you might be interested in. Now, I won't always be able to confirm what's available for Hutt Valley or Kapiti District Libraries, but I will let you know what I've found, some of the things that I found at Wellington City Library, and perhaps that may whet your appetite to go and check what's available in your locality. First up, we're going to listen to an excerpt from a volume called Classic Irish Short Stories. And the clue, rather, is in the name there as to what we might expect to hear. Let's have a little listen now.
Grace by James Joyce. Two gentlemen who were in the lavatory at the time tried to lift him up, but he was quite helpless. He lay curled up at the foot of the stairs down which he had fallen. They succeeded in turning him over. His hat had rolled a few yards away, and his clothes were smeared with the filth and ooze of the floor on which he had lain face downwards. His eyes were closed, and he breathed with a grunting noise. A thin stream of blood trickled from the corner of his mouth. These two gentlemen and one of the curates carried him upstairs and laid him down again on the floor of the bar. In 2 minutes he was surrounded by a ring of men. The manager of the bar asked everyone who he was and who was with him. No one knew who he was. But one of the curates said he had served the gentleman with a small rum.
Was he by himself?
Asked the manager.
No, sir. There was two gentlemen with him. And where are they?
No one knew. A voice said,
Give him air. He's fainted.
The ring of onlookers distended and closed again elastically. A dark medal of blood had formed itself near the man's head on the tessellated floor. The manager, alarmed by the grey pallor of the man's face, sent for a policeman. His collar was unfastened and his necktie undone. He opened his eyes for an instant, sighed, and closed them again. One of the gentlemen who had carried him upstairs held a dinged silk hat in his hand. The manager asked repeatedly, did no one know who the injured man was, or where had his friends gone? The door of the bar opened, and an immense constable entered. A crowd which had followed him down the laneway collected outside the door, struggling to look in through the glass panels. The manager at once began to narrate what he knew. The constable, a young man with thick, immobile features, listened. He moved his head slowly to right and left, and from the manager to the person on the floor, as if he feared to be the victim of some delusion. Then he drew off his glove, produced a small book from his waist, licked the lead of his pencil, and made ready to indict.
That was a sample there from Classic Irish Stories, which is available from Wellington City Libraries. As far as I could make out, that particular publication was only in audio format, but perhaps it is available as a book or an e-book as well. Though I imagine you could look up what the stories are, and there'll be, I'm sure, other compilations of Irish stories that include some of the same short stories. I found the narrator there quite interesting. I thought he sounded a little bit like Terry Wogan. So his name is T.P. McKenna, if you're interested. Next up, we've got a memoir by Irish journalist Fintan O'Toole, and this is called We Don't Know Ourselves. Now, the book is a personal history from 1958 through to the date of publication, 2021. And Fintan O'Toole, of course, will be known to many for his regular articles and opinion pieces in the Irish Times. In the book, he recounts many of the milestones of Irish history throughout that period from the viewpoint of both his personal experiences of those milestones and compared to the broader view taken by the media and other reports. This book, I had a look, is available from Wellington City Library in book, physical book, ebook, and audiobook format. And I also found that both Cavity Libraries and Hutt Valley Libraries also have physical copies, but I don't have access to their e-library, so it may well be that they have the e-book and audio versions too. Let's have a listen now to some of the opening chapter.
Chapter 1, 1958, on Noah's Ark. My parents' wedding photographs always remind me of a frontier town in an old western. To prize open the mock mother-of-pearl covers of the wedding album is to enter a world of strange contrasts. There they are, elegant and radiant, wrapped in the proud formality of the 1950s, my mother's elaborate white dress and veil, the clean lines of my father's bespoke suit. They are emblems of a great continuity, of a seriousness and respectability forged over generations of struggle against squalor and despair, against poverty and violence. Their adamant dignity sparkles like a diamond hard won from the dirt. What gives the pictures their air of high noon, though, of a respectable wedding threatened by the dangers of a frontier town, is the setting. The Catholic church that forms the background to the photographs should be dark with Gothic curves or bright with Baroque tracery, but is merely dull with the blank stare of unadorned concrete blocks. It is not really a chapel at all, but a temporary shed slapped up to serve a raw new suburb while the proper church is being built. It may have been consecrated by the wave of a bishop's hand, but it is unconsecrated by those holier things, by the skill of craftsmen, or by the hopes and aspirations, the dreads and supplications of dead generations. The place looks like what it is, transitional. It has been there for 11 years, a dreary substitute for the real thing, which was being built up the road at enormous cost, with seating for 1,700 worshippers at a time.
So that was a wee excerpt there from We Don't Know Ourselves by Irish journalist Fintan O'Toole. Now, some of you will be more interested in fiction, and I was able to find some examples of that to share with you also. Crime and thriller is a fiction genre that has always been popular, and this one is from Irish writer Liz Nugent. who is from Killiney in County Dublin. And it's available in all three formats at Wellington City Libraries, and I also saw it listed in the catalogues of Capity and Hutt Valley Libraries as well. This one is called Our Little Cruelties, and it brings you right into the action at the start of a book, start of the book with a funeral. Let's have a wee listen now.
All three of the Drum brothers were at the funeral, although one of us was in a coffin. Three is an odd number, so there had always been two against one, although we all switched sides regularly. Nobody would ever have described us as close. As the service began, I became tearful. Without ever realizing it, I had inherited my mother's acting abilities. My living brother and I stood side by side at the top of the crematorium, while people lied to us about what a brilliant man our brother had been. All the usual meaningless clichés. His death was sudden. Horrific. The investigation was quick and conclusive. I was not a suspect. I had a sense of freedom and relief I hadn't felt in quite a while. I didn't expect that this air of serenity would last, but I thought I would enjoy it while I could. My surviving brother was unreadable to me. Maybe he was thinking of our brother's smashed and broken body. Still, even he must have known this outcome was for the best.
Now, if crime thrillers aren't to your taste, you may prefer one of my personal favourites, Marion Keyes. Marion has enjoyed enormous international success over the years, and I often find myself going back to one of her books when I'm in the mood for a comfort read. And she writes with like real humour, which sometimes belies the seriousness of her topics, which include alcoholism, bereavement, domestic violence and depression, among others. But it's with a real human touch, which can almost be like a palate cleanser after you've waded through something that's pretty grim, like a psychological thriller or something like that. Let's have a listen now to some of the opening chapter to The Other Side of the Story by Marion Keyes.
When I heard her choke, "He's gone." Who could blame me for thinking Dad had kicked the bucket? He just packed a bag and left. Then I realised Dad mightn't actually be dead.
Come home.
But I was in a hotel ballroom overseeing a medical conference, an enormous deal which had taken weeks to pull together, and in less than an hour, 200 chiropractors would be flooding in. I can't leave here.
Hurry! I'm in an awful state. God only knows what I'll do.
That did it. I snapped my phone closed and looked at Andrea.
It's my Dad.
Oh, my God, is he... Oh, no, I corrected. He's still alive.
Go, go.
She pushed me towards the exit, clearly visualising a deathbed farewell. I can't. What about all this? Me and Moses will do it, and I'll call the office and get Ruth over to help. Go. And in a surge of panic, I was outside in the cold January fog. The road to my parents' house was almost car-free, all the heavy traffic going in the opposite direction, into the centre of Dublin. I parked, very badly, and Mam had opened the front door before I was even out of the car. She was in a peach candlewick dressing gown, an orange curler in her fringe.
He's gone.
I hurried in. Did something happen? Did you have a fight?
No, nothing. He ate his breakfast as normal, porridge, see?
She pointed to a bowl on the kitchen table.
Then he said he wasn't happy. Things weren't working out and he was leaving.
But you've been married 35 years. Maybe he's having a midlife crisis.
The man is nearly 60. He's too old for a midlife crisis.
She was right. Dad had had his chance for a midlife crisis a good 15 years ago.
Well, listeners, that brings us to the end of our show for today. I hope you enjoyed these little tasters of what you can find in our local libraries here in Wellington from Irish writers. We'll go out with some music from Christy Moore. My sister was at one of his gigs this week in Castlebar, and she messaged me to let me know that he'd played the song, which she said makes her think of me. This is The Voyage. Thank you for tuning in to Capital Irish once again this week on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, Slánga Fól. Been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.